Hey, let's face it, that one hurt. Kyle Draper, I gotta tell you, I did not know that getting knocked out of the in-season tournament would leave me feeling as disappointed as that did last night. I thought I wouldn't care when we first heard about the tournament. Last night, I was like, oh, that was a bummer of a loss.
Yes, that was difficult. That was hard. And you're right, man. It's it felt like the end of something.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily the end of the season, but like some sort of run was over, mm-hmm. right? And especially the way that game started, like it turned on a dime. So you're on this tremendous high. You're mm-hmm. feeling great, Sacramento Kings fans. And then within like 5-6 minutes, it was, and you could tell too, midway through the first, into the first quarter, it was like, uh-oh. We're in for a dogfight here, yeah. and we never could get back into it.
Yeah, man. The Kings at the end of the first quarter were shooting really high percentages, 60-something, 60-something, and they were up one, and I happened to be sitting last night next to your on-air partner, Morgan Reagan, and we were kind of looking at each other like, this is not good. And then once the Kings lost their grip, they never got it back. But for me, I've been trying to figure out why I'm feeling this way, and I think getting through the group stage, it felt like, all right, you had to beat the Warriors, you had to win at Minnesota. And then you got one home game against New Orleans, then you're on your way to Las Vegas.
Right.
And even if you don't win it, hey, you get to Vegas, that's something. And then instead it's like, oof, ow, didn't see that coming. Probably should have, given the way the Pelicans played against the Kings the last two times.
Yeah, and you're coming off a great win against Denver too, right? And
yeah.
You're thinking, all right, the Kings got it figured out. They're rocking and rolling. They're playing with confidence. They're flying high. And then they sort of lay an egg after that first quarter. And I said this on a postgame show last night on NBC Sports California. The Pelicans had the lead at the half. And you thought, all right, still 24 minutes to play. The Kings can make a run. But when you look at what transpired, the Kings scored 30 in the third quarter. The Pelicans scored 31. They scored 26 in the fourth quarter. The Pelicans scored 27. So even when you needed the Kings best and you needed them to make that run, the Pelicans were just 1 point better than you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm inclined to say, and Matt Barnes talked about it yesterday, this is a horrible matchup for us. You know, I started off the season, oh, the Pelicans, who's giving them any props? You know, against the Kings, mm-hmm. they look amazing. And it wasn't even Zion. That's what's so frustrating last night. You know, we went in thinking, oh, how do you stop Zion? Well, there's no answer. Well, they stopped Zion. They just couldn't stop anybody else on the roster.
Mm-hmm. They were starting. They were initiating their offense where the Pelicans so deep at mm-hmm. times. Like, they get the initiating pass from the top of the key to the corner, you know, the elbow, Ingram, and just a short jumper. It was hard to see. So it was disappointing to lose to the Pelicans, but also a little alarming to see that team now coming together, how healthy they are and how good they are. I think, yeah, it's a bad matchup for the Kings, but also that's a team that could make some noise in the West.
I agree. And when you look at their starting five, I'm sitting here looking at it. There's no weakness in that starting five. Ingram, Zion, Valanciunas, Herb Jones, one of the best two-way players in the game. Mm-hmm. CJ McCollum, a veteran, savvy player that can get you buckets. And then you throw in a guy like Trey Murphy III, who's a sharpshooter who could start on pretty much any other team in the NBA, and a guy like Jose Alvarado, a pest. I mean, they have guys that are grinders, are tough, hard-nosed players. I talk about Herb Jones. I talk about Trey Murphy, Alvarado. You know, when you play them, you're in for a fight. They're sort of like Houston to an extent when you throw in a Van Vliet, a Dylan Brooks, guys like that. You know, they may not be the most talented or the most skilled, but, man, they know how to play the game, and you're going to have to earn everything you can. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, as great as D-Fox is, the dude scored 30 points. He was 10 of 25. He shot 40% from the field. Mm-hmm. And so they made his life difficult as well. Give them a lot of credit, because the only thing standing in their way, obviously, from being a Western Conference contender, you know, a top four team, top five team, is health. And you're right. With CJ back, Trey Murphy back, starting to get their guys healthy, Zion's playing now, they're going to be a tough out.
I saw our friend Antonio Daniels at halftime yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were sandbagging us. And he said, oh, you know, he talked about, you know, length and defense. And that was the other thing. Yeah, it's a bad matchup, and New Orleans is, they may be legit, but the Kings just got, not only did they get knocked out of the tournament, they got pushed out of the tournament, right, with the physicality that the Pelicans
brought. And that's what's so upsetting about this, because We knew that going in.
Yeah.
We talked yesterday about the physicality, and you got to be more physical. And, you know, what's concerning about the Kings, though, is that when the threes aren't falling, what do they have? What do they hang their hat on after that? And in the first quarter, the threes were falling. Everybody was clicking. Herter was clicking. Keegan was clicking. Everybody was clicking, right? But then when things got a little tough, when things turned up just a little bit, you know, guys are complaining to the officials. Mm-hmm. You know, Domas, even though he had the triple-double, there were back-to-back plays against Valanciunas where I thought he sort of tapped out a little bit, gave up, surrendered position on the inside, gave up buckets. And so I think, you know, what we're seeing outside of De'Aaron Fox and maybe Malik Monk, when teams take away your system, we're lost, you know? And that's why I think, you know, Keegan Murray has to be better. Maybe you make some sort of deal to go get a bucket getter. Because here's the thing about the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram, you know, James Harden says, I don't play in a system. I am the system. Well, you have certain players that can get buckets. Brandon Ingram can get a bucket. He doesn't need a play called for him or anything like that. Give the ball to Ingram. Let him do his work. Who do we have on our team that can do that? Fox? Maybe
Keegan's
Malik?
He's supposed to become
Keegan's
that guy.
He's supposed to be, but yeah. He's not there yet.
Right.
You know, and
right.
If we're being honest, you know, we're talking about a number four overall pick. And we sort of brought him along slowly, treating him with kid gloves. We need more from Keegan.
Yeah.
We
and
need
he's hurt
him
right
to
now.
Be. He's
yeah.
hurt, but we need him. And you and I talked about this going into the season. We need him to be the second best player, not the third best offensive option, the second best player night in and night out.
I agree with everything you said. I do think there is a potential answer to the question, what do the Kings do when they're not knocking down shots? And I know Mike Brown talked about it last night. We talked about it yesterday. What do you do against the Pelicans? How do you counter some of their physical advantages? You get out and you run. And the Kings did not do that.
Well, you know, first of all, it's difficult when you're taking the ball out of the net all the time.
True.
You know, I mean, the Pelicans, outside of that first initial stretch, they were hitting everything. You know, that the three ball was falling for them. And secondly, the turnovers. I know they only finished with 14, talking about
the
Sacramento.
First half was
but
terrible.
That first half, it was like they were butterfingers out there. And even when you tried to run, how many times did we see Alvarado come up from behind or steal the ball? Or Fox, you know, especially in that first half, he had five turnovers early in that game. It's like you got to take care of the ball. And I thought that was really the difference in the game. We can look at the shooting numbers all you want. But the Pelicans got back into the game and mm-hmm. got their confidence off the Kings' turnovers.
Yeah, Fox had four in the first quarter?
Yeah, four in the first quarter, five in the first half, six total for the game, I think it was.
Yeah, that's a great point, but I do think there were times when the Kings had opportunities to get out and run a little bit, and they didn't take advantage of them. You're right. When you're taking the ball out of the bottom of the basket, tough to get out and run, and Mike Brown talked about how he feels that the team just doesn't have that sense of urgency to get out and run. And you're right. I think last night, the Pelicans just kind of robbed them of their mojo a little bit. And
yeah.
They were a little unsure of what they were doing because they were turning the ball over so much.
Yeah, and you brought up Mike Brown. He did say that after the game this year, guys aren't sprinting as fast, you know? They're not running to the corners. They're not sprinting down, opening up the floor, flattening out the defense, getting to the corners. They're stopping on the wings. You know, he said they got three or four guys each rebound or whatever holding their hands up, looking for the ball. And it's like, you would think as a player, Whitey, a fast-paced run-and-gun style, you would want that, right? You know, like, that's the kind of game every player wants to play in, most likely. But for some reason, this Kings team, I said it yesterday, they're 28th in fast break points.
Mm-hmm.
How are you a team with De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, all these guys that can like to get out and run, 28th in fast break points in the NBA?
Kevin Herter said, I think a lot of what they're asking us to do, defensive rebound, physicality, make sure we're cleaning up that end. You got to be able to get out. I think last year, maybe a little bit mindset-wise, we were getting into track meets with teams. Defensively, the ball would go through the rim. We'd be out ready to get into offense. Maybe a little bit more defensive focus for us to keeping us from running, but you got to be able to do both. So, and I think Davion said that when they were in Houston. So a couple of times we've had players saying, with everything they want us to do defensively, it's hard to get out and run.
That's hogwash.
Yeah.
That's hogwash. And I'm not going to let the players use that as an escape goat. Now, if you're playing defense like the 04-05 Pistons, okay. but you're still getting gashed defensively. Like, mm-hmm. you're focusing all this effort on defense, and I'm not seeing the major leap defensively, especially last night. And so if you're locking down guys, maybe we don't need to run as much. But you're not even doing that right now. So I think that's an excuse, man. I'm not going to go with that.
Again, that quote, maybe a little bit more defensive focus for us is keeping us from running. That's Kevin Herter. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Sock to Bobby. Bobby, you're on with the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. How are you, Bobby?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Yo, what's
up? Are you disappointed today? Are you as disappointed as I am?
Yes, because it was like, I mean, that was the third time that they just manhandled us in the first quarter. You guys, everything you guys are saying is pretty much spot on. And I mean, Harrison's been a ghost, and I'd hate to say it, guys, whenever we go against elite front court competition, for the most part, especially the physical guys like a Zion, a Jonas, and let's even say an Embiid, like, I got to say it, like, it's so apparently obvious. We have one stud player. Like, Domas is limited. He played good last night, but I'm just saying the elephant in the room. Like, you guys are all right. We need another guy. Because, I mean, it was very obvious last night. Like, they have two just horses, and we have one.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the call. They may need some help in the front court, but Domas is not the issue for me right now.
That's a tough one for me. Because
are you turning into John Hollinger?
No, I'm not turning into John Hollinger. But we've talked about this time and time again. And Hollinger's raised this. Kevin O'Connor has raised this. They've all raised this. Domas' lack of a defensive presence on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about one-on-one guarding his man. I'm talking about a deterrent from guys getting into the paint. It would be nice if we had a shot blocker or somebody that could, you know, you go down the lane, you see him, you're thinking twice. You know, those guys don't grow in trees, obviously, to go bears, things like that. But when you don't have the perimeter defense, the perimeter lockdown defenders, then you got to at least have the rim protection. And right now we're not doing either, especially against the Pelicans. The Pelicans, you know, it's just amazing how many either layups or there was one possession. They gave up an open top-of-the-key three. I think this was the third quarter. Gave up the offensive rebound and then gave up another open three. It's like, you know, and I know I'm digressing off of Domas a little bit, but he's just part of the problem.
Right.
There's more
it's
issues.
It's all related.
Yeah, it's all related. There are other issues
like
out there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My thing with Domas is I understand your point. I understand Bobby's point. But to me, you're locked in with him. If you're going to talk about somehow bringing in somebody else, okay, somebody else to augment things, fine. But if you're talking about, oh, we need someone else, you're talking about throwing out the whole thing. And I don't think we're anywhere near the point where we'd be thinking about that.
Right, but here's the thing. Maybe you need better perimeter defense. Maybe Harrison Barnes has to be better defensive.
I agree.
Maybe Kevin Herter has to. That's, you know, because you don't have that big shot blocker in the back there. Like, Domas does so many other great things. Then to ask him to be a deterrent on the inside, he's just not going to be that, you know?
Yep.
And so if I'm Monty McNair, I'm looking at this roster and I'm seeing the holes that we have. And this is a process, Kings fans. We knew even before last night's game, this team was not ready to compete for a championship just yet. Pelicans just exposed our flaws even more. I fully expect Monty McNair to do something at this trade deadline.
We'll come right back with more of your calls at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And Drape's takes are coming up right next year with the Drive Guys. Yeah, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. I think we're both feeling a little more disappointed about the end of this in-season tournament thing than we expected, huh? I know I am.
Yeah,
it sounds like you are,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was looking. I wasn't going to go to Vegas, but I was looking, you know. When you have this in-season tournament, you try to plan out your week, right?
Yeah.
And I for sure thought we'd be at least playing on Thursday in Vegas, and now it's Friday. So,
yeah,
it's tough. It's
tough. I know I'm guilty of overlooking the Pelicans again. Thinking,
really?
Yeah. You know, and that's, I remember yesterday we were talking about how, hey, and this was my thing. I kept pushing this. Hey, this is their third game in four nights.
Yeah, you said that a lot, right? No,
it did not look like that at all.
And they're a deep team. That's why, you know, we thought Zion would have to be the guy for them. But when you let Ingram get 30, Herb Jones, 23?
Good player.
Herb Jones, good player, but 23? Come on, man. Mm-hmm. You know, CJ, 17, Valanciunas, 18. Like, they're just a balanced team right now. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that in Drape's Takes. We got some issues, man. We're a little top heavy right now.
We'll get to that in just a moment. First, JR joins us on Sacktown Sports, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, JR. How are you?
What's up, Drive Guys?
What's up, man?
How are you?
Good.
Hey, that was disappointing. I guess we all were buying in. You know, we're like, wow, this in-season tournament, this is cool. We're going to Vegas, so we're all bought in. Totally agree with the three games of Fortnite, thinking we had the Pelicans. Two questions, simple questions. First of all, why did we go so cold like we did when we, you know, we're hitting threes first quarter and then we stopped? Any specifics, you know, on the first question, why you guys think they go so cold like that?
Pelicans got very physical. They made things really difficult for Fox, which is kind of where the offense was supposed to start. That's one thing. And, you know, but you live and die by the jump shot. You're going to have those stretches. You with me on that, Drapes?
Yeah, and I think, too, what you see from the Kings, they start pressing there a little.
Yep.
When they miss three or four, it's like you can almost feel it, right, in the arena. Like, uh-oh, they're just hoping this one goes in. And it sort of becomes contagious, I feel, out there with those guys.
What else you got, JR? Oh, do we
Oh, we also. All right, he's gone. Sorry about that.
That's all
I know.
Right.
I thought JR was still with us there. I thought he was still with us.
He cleared the deck as we're clearing the deck for Drapes Takes.
Hit it, Jay.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
All right, everybody. It's your boy Drapes. Usually I'm super positive with Drapes Takes. But there's nothing I could take away from last night. There's not one positive thing. You could talk about Domantas Sabonis in the triple-double. All right, I will say he played hard. He battled out there. He did a good job. But after that, I'm extremely disappointed in what I saw last night. Let's start with De'Aaron Fox, our All-NBA guy, our Western Conference Player of the Week. When you have a game like we had last night, the stars have to be the stars. And I thought it took De'Aaron a little too long to get going. Maybe he was watching everybody else flowing in that first quarter with Herder and Keegan and those guys knocking down threes. But De'Aaron, he has to be the best player on the floor. Because when you look at it, it was a playoff game. In-season tournament playoff game. And I would have liked him to just, you know what, come out, put a stamp on this game early on instead of the five first half turnovers. I needed more from De'Aaron last night.
Yeah, it was literally an elimination
game.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And in an elimination game, the stars got to be the stars, you know? De'Aaron has to be that guy. And I know he tried, and he's struggled against the Pelicans to an extent this year. He had one game where he was 6 of 18
they
that first time.
They make things
rough on him.
They
they do make rough things
They're
rough on him.
They're picking his pocket last night.
Never seen that, right?
Yeah.
Never seen. Usually he's the one that picks the pocket. So I was a little upset about that. Also, the bench, Mike Brown. Mike Brown's known to trust the bench. He's known to push buttons. Where was that last night? You know, you look at the bench and understand it's sort of a playoff game, elimination kind of game. But why not more minutes for a guy like Sasha? Why not more minutes for Trey Lyles? Trey Lyles, 16 minutes. Come on. You know, he played Malik a lot. But outside of Malik Monk, man, where was Kessler Edwards? Like, JaVale McGee even, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Like, what's going on here, Mike Brown? What is going on? He played De'Aaron Fox 40 minutes, so Domas 36, HB 34. I would have liked him to change up some of those minutes there.
You know what happened to JaVale McGee, rightly or wrongly. End of the quarter, he goes into the game to box out. It was like 1.6 left, so he's shooting a free throw.
Yeah, and they got the...
Hey, you just box out. If he misses, get the rebound,
he was in the doghouse after that, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
But he was the game changer against Denver. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm JaVale and I only play 3 minutes and 50 seconds, I'm sitting there afterwards scratching my head like... So I may have made that mistake, but that don't mean I get buried. You know, he's too big of a and it's not like the Pelicans are an undersized team and, you know, you couldn't play a guy like JaVale. And so I would have liked to see Mike use his bench a lot more. Last, but certainly not least when it comes to Drape's Takes, Sacramento Kings fans, we are in the business of winning a championship. Mike Brown has stated the goal is to win a championship. As presently constructed, this team cannot win a championship. So I fully expect Monty McNair to do something at the trade deadline. You got some movable contracts. You got some draft picks. It is clear as day this team needs to upgrade its talent. Now, you can stand pat, let it grow, take the slow route, maybe make the playoffs second round. But if we're talking about winning the championship, either A, Keegan Murray has to be that guy, develop into that true number two, or Monty McNair has to make some sort of move.
Yeah, ideally both, right?
Yeah.
That would be the ideal.
Ideally, exactly. So. I think it's, you know, the sense of urgency from a fan standpoint has to be there, Whitey. Last week, I gave the Kings a pass for their loss against the Clippers. And fans ripped me. They're like, no, Drapes, this is a new era. This is a new day. This is a new age. We play to win these games. Well, if we plan to win the games, then we're planning to win the championship. And if I'm Monty McNair, you're still a couple of steps away from a championship contender. And I think it's clear as day that he needs to upgrade the roster.
I totally agree. It's interesting you mentioned Sasha last night, and my sense was just that he had no chance against their front court. And maybe he will at some point. You talked yesterday about how we all know that defensively, he's nothing special, probably never will be. But last night, I thought he was just overmatched. And Mike Brown apparently felt that way as well.
But let me ask you this, and I hear you, and you might be 100% right. But what about the other end? HB was a non-factor offensively. If Sasha's out there, you know he's getting up some shots. Zion's going to have to close out. Is it going to have to? Then maybe that opens up things for De'Aaron Fox a little more. I just thought, you know, a little more reliance on the bench. Even Trey Lyles some more. You know, 16 minutes for Trey Lyles. You're going to tighten the rotation, which Mike Brown did last night. 32 from basically it was a five-man rotation
yes,
yesterday.
It was. Yeah,
and so
it was surprising.
Yeah, I thought this team's bench was a little deeper than that, and I don't think Mike Brown trusted them in that moment.
Yeah, he did seem a little miffed with them, huh?
Yeah,
it wasn't so much. Stars are playing well. It's like I'm not playing these guys.
Right, and that's the thing. It wasn't like the starters were playing great though. That's the thing that upsets me the most about what we saw last night. You know. De'Aaron, he got to play. Domas, he has to play. Even Keegan has to play. But HB for 34 minutes, and Mike Brown talked about it, and we'll get into HB lot later.
Yes.
He said he did a great job defensively on Zion. But that was a team defense, I think, you know, what we saw last night. And so, I don't know, man. I just would have liked to seen the bench a little more last night.
Yeah, and the thing about Zion, I know, what did he have, 10 points on 8 shots? But that's because they were running everything through Ingram.
Right.
The Kings couldn't stop Ingram.
You're right, exactly.
So, it wasn't like they didn't shut down Zion. It's just New Orleans didn't need him.
They didn't need Zion.
Than he did
last
night.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, when I look at it, and I said this before the game yesterday on the pregame show, and it might have even been at halftime. When the Pelicans outshoot you from three, you're not going to win that game. Because, sure, they have some shooters, but your bread and butter is the three-point shot. Their bread and butter is getting into the paint, getting points in the paint, which they did, 52 of them last night. So if they're getting points in the paint and they're beating you on the three-point line, you can't win a game like that if you're Sacramento.
Right. The Kings just, they had no chance inside, and then that opened everything up outside.
Yeah.
To that point, you look at New Orleans, their three starting front court players, Ingram, Zion, and Jonas Valanciunas. They were combined, I believe, 22 for 39.
Wow.
I mean, they just dominated.
Dominated.
Physical domination of the Kings.
Dominated.
Yeah.
And here's where, you know, when you look at it, Herb Jones and C.J. McCollum, if we're going to take it a little farther, their backcourt, 15 of 27.
Uh-huh.
Your backcourt, 15 of 35.
Right.
So their backcourt outplayed your backcourt, where you're supposed to have the advantage with De'Aaron Fox there.
They played, the Pelicans did, with a ton of confidence. They knew, you could see, they played really hard for a November game, and they knew, I remember seeing Ingram coming around the corner off some screens, like they knew they could get whatever shot they wanted last night.
Yeah, and it sort of snowballed, right?
Yeah.
Like you could see the confidence from the Pelicans, you know, with them knocking down threes, with Ingram doing what he did, turning the ball over Sacramento. They just looked like the better team last night, and that's three games in a row against these guys. That's a concern to me.
A lot of Kings fans down on HB after last night. Should they be? We'll pick up that discussion with senior NBA writer for ESPN, Mark Spears, joining us next. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Drive Guys back with you. Are we going to look back at last night as kind of a coming out party for the Pelicans? A lot of Kings fans upset with HB. Should they be? We're going to find out here from our special guest, senior NBA writer for ESPN, Mark Spears. And Mark, thanks for your time. I want to begin with an apology to Mark Spears, because last night, Kyle, we're in the media room and we're eating, you know, it's like 12 minutes to go before the game starts. And I'm sitting there, the Slater's there, and Sam Amick and Chris and Alan Stiles. And I hear a voice behind me, "Hey, Whitey." And I turn around and it's the great Mark Spears. And he gives like a kind of a wave. And I'm like, "Huh, he wants to talk to me." So, because I was standing up.
Okay.
I was getting ready to go. I was standing up. "Hey, Whitey." So I go over and he's talking to somebody else about, the guy's like, "What did you call him?" And Kendra Andrews is sitting there and she goes, "He doesn't want to talk to you. You were just in the way. We were trying to watch TV." So, Mark, I'm sorry about that. My apologies.
Hey, man, I always want to talk to you, man. You're a good guy, man. But it was funny. That was like Tim Frank from the NBA, right?
Oh, okay.
The NBA's number one, like, media guru.
Yeah.
He's at the game. And
yeah.
It was actually, believe it or not, his first time ever being in Golden 1 Center. He said he had not been to against the Lakers. Which is way, way too long. But anyways, so Whitey's in the way of the screen. We're trying to watch the end of the game. some cockamamie story or whatever he was talking about. And I said, "Hey, Whitey, move out of the way, man." And Tim Frank looked over like, "Oh, my gosh.
What did you
call him?" Whitey. Like, he thought I was making a... I was making a racial comment, man. I was like, "Nah, man, his nickname is Whitey, man."
Yeah, it was funny. That was a good one. Well, yeah, and then I almost blocked it from that big Halliburton shot, so sorry about that. But, Mark, a lot of Kings fans today, as you can imagine, this happens a lot when the Kings lose. Kings fans are down on HB. I mean, where do you think Kings fans should be right now after last night?
Is he the reason why they lost that game?
I don't think so.
Nah, come on. Yeah, nah.
I mean, they lost. Did he miss a shot? Buzzer? Did I miss something? What they mad about?
They just think that for a guy that they re-signed, he should be giving them more, especially when, you know, Ingram and Zion are playing so well.
I'm going to ask Kings fans a game. He's the reason why y'all lost?
Nope. Not at all. You give up 127 and Kings fans pointing a finger at Harrison Barnes. Come on, man. You lost because you couldn't stop anybody.
Well, here's the thing. What did Zion do last night that was special?
Right. No, you're right.
You got an off night. You got an off night from Zion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I hate to say this, but that was a time I saw the Pelicans as a team, and this is going to sound crazy, that I was like, you know what? If they're healthy, they're capable of winning the whole thing.
Ooh. Mm. Wow. You said the whole thing, Mark.
The whole thing.
Wow. Yes. And so the one thing that I keep in mind about the Pelicans, and we don't have to talk about the Pelicans too much, but when they were healthy last year, they were one of the few teams that had a better, that were ahead of Denver in the standings. And I think the reason is, I mean, like, hey, man, some teams just are good teams that got your number, right? So I don't know the Kings fans should beat themselves up, because they got a really – the games in New Orleans, yes. I definitely think you should be disappointed about not competing with so much on the line, for sure. But New Orleans is pretty good when they're healthy, because you got a guy that can counter Sabonis. Shoot, they got one of the – Jones is maybe the best on-ball defender in the league. Valanciunas is like, I don't know anybody in the league that posts 2 feet away from the rim. Nobody gets easier buckets than him. And then, like, CJ Money, he's a great complimentary player. Brandon Ingram of late is playing like a finals – I'm not a finals – a top 10 player in the league. And, I mean, Zion had an off night, and they still look great.
Yeah.
So, I take a breather, man. Look, I think Kings fans should be, if anything, just disappointed that you were that close and you didn't get there. But to fight and claw back to get the win against the NBA tournament, to be in national TV twice in the process, I do think that there were a lot of positives there.
Mark Spears, ESPN and Anscape, joining us. Mark, along those same lines, give credit, obviously, to the Pelicans. But Mike Brown has talked about winning the championship here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Did the matchup with the Pelicans, does that expose some areas of need, you think, for the Kings?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Keegan has to take his game up. I know he's been hurt, but I don't see a step forward so far. Do you? I don't, to be honest. Like, to me, maybe he's the guy you're kind of mad at a little bit because I know Summer League, but when you saw that outburst in Summer League, you're like, all right, he's ready to be an all-star caliber player. We keep reading and hearing all this stuff about all the workouts with Fox and what that did for his game and the confidence. And, you know, like I said, maybe the injuries slowed him down, but to me, there just hasn't been that progression, that step forward that you expected from him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm expecting much more from him. I'm expecting a 20-point score that lightens the load on Fox and lightens the load on Sabonis. And, you know, he hasn't been that. Like, to me, like, if you're blaming Harrison, Harrison's like your fourth or fifth score.
Right.
That's the problem? No, Harrison is not the problem. I think Keegan has to take it up to another level. I keep hearing about how amazing of all season Davion Mitchell had. I don't know that I really see it. I mean, the guy that been impressive to me is Malik Monk. He's been sensational. Some of the other bench guys who else on the bench is really like living up to the expectations, the heightened expectations? And so if there's anything I see, I kind of feel like the Kings need more patience with Keegan and perhaps need to make a move because now they have heightened expectations to perhaps get a player in that they could be confident can be that elite third scorer for them, because that maybe it's going to take Keegan more time than they thought.
Mark Spears, our guest from ESPN and Nanscape. I think you're right about Keegan Murray, Mark. We talk a lot about that on the show. The plan is, I mean, this doesn't work unless Keegan at some point makes those strides. Not there yet, but they absolutely need for this all to work the way it's set up. They need him to at some point start to become that player. But that said, do you think the Kings have the players they need to play the type of defense that Mike Brown says they need to play in order to compete for a championship right now?
I mean, good question. I might need to evaluate them a little more. McGee, do they need to play McGee more? I heard one of the Pelicans fans basically yelling out. It was kind of interesting. He was trash talking. He's like, you guys have no rim protector, and we know it. We know it. Right? Like, and, you know, maybe that's do you use McGee more? Do you trust him as a rim protector, or do you feel like his days are past him? I think the perimeter defense is fine. I just maybe just need somebody else like that. But there's who is that? Like, right. How many guys are like that? There's not a lot of people that in the league, period, that fear from a shot blocking standpoint. So I don't know who that magical, mystical guy is that could bring that to the team. But, you know, maybe Mike needs to bite the bullet a little more and play McGee more.
Mark Spears joining us, ESPN and Nanscape. You're right, Mark. JaVale McGee, 3 minutes and change last night. I was shocked by that because he had played so well against Denver. I do want to shift gears. I know you had an impressive Q&A with our guy, De'Aaron Fox, just won Western Conference Player of the Week. When you talk to De'Aaron, what stands out to you? What did you get from that article that you guys can read on Anscape.com?
He's got a different level of swag now, a different level of – you know, it kind of reminds me of covering Melo in Denver when, while the team still was growing, he was there, right? He was a superstar. De'Aaron's a superstar. And when he walks in the building, he's feared. He's not scared to say something to LeBron James. He's on a different level. But I guess what I learned from him is while he's on a different level as a player, like, he hasn't changed as a person. The same guy that plays Call of Duty with his buddies all the time. He's the same guy that loves to see his wife and his young son sitting courtside. The ego hasn't changed, and he acknowledged like things around him are changing now, shoes and people wanting more for his time. I saw the Kaiser ad, like those things are changing. But I do respect the fact, and this is maybe why Stephen Curry wanted him as part of his brand, because look, I was here when Steph walked in 2009, and I mean, it's inevitable that Steph changes a little bit, right? But in essence, Stephen Curry is still the same dude that, you know, used to live in Oakland's Jack London Square in 2009, right? So that says a lot about him as a character for De'Aaron, a lot about his upbringing, his parents. You know, I really respect him a lot, and the fact that he's loved Sacramento and taken so much pride. And like he said, one thing he's really relishing in is the chest poked out from the locals that hasn't been there. The pride wearing the Sacramento stuff on a different level now. People walking around saying, yeah, I'm a Kings fan. What? You know? And getting the monkey off the back, getting in the playoffs, like he will have his jersey retired in Sacramento one day. And he deserves it for wanting to be the guy that finally broke through the ice.
Mark J. Spears. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. From now on, when I'm in the middle of the media room, I will have my head on a swivel, making sure I'm not blocking anybody's view. We appreciate it. I hope to talk to you again very soon, sir. Thanks.
Hey, man, but, you know, it's not every day that a black man can say, move, Whitey.
I get it all the time.
Get away with it, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I get it all the time.
And any time you get in the way of something, I'm going to be right there.
He's going to be popping out the bushes, Whitey. Right? Oh, my God.
Thanks, Mark.
You're crazy. All right, bro.
We'll talk
all right.
Later.
All right.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You disappointed? Kyle and I, more disappointed that the Kings are out of this thing than we thought we would be. Also, we got a salute to the kid from Folsom who, according to his coach, just lit the world on fire. Coming up here, it's The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. I don't know about you, but I thought that today we would be getting ready for the Kings advancing, getting ready to go to Vegas in the in-season tournament. Instead, we're sitting here going, hey, what happened last night? All of a sudden, we're looking at some existential questions with this team, like, what's wrong with this team? Do they need to make an acquisition? Is Mike Brown playing the right people? It's always interesting, Kyle, and we appreciate your honesty on this, but whenever a team broadcaster starts talking, even in general terms about, you know, they might need to make a deal, that's significant.
Yeah, you know, and obviously I work for the franchise, close to the guys, but if I was Joe Schmo sitting at home on the couch, I mean, the eye test, right? You just look at it. And I'm saying that based on the level of expectations within the organization. We're talking about winning the championship here, buddy. We're not talking about being competitive or just making the playoffs first round. We're talking about being the elite of the elite, being up there with the Denvers of the world, the Bostons of the world. Sure, Sacramento can make some noise in the playoffs, no doubt about it. But if you have an opportunity to improve the roster, why not go out there and do that? That's just my take. And, you know, kudos to Monty McNair. He doesn't listen to that outside noise. But as a basketball fan, a basketball person, you got to see that, you know, we're not there yet. And that's okay. This is part of the process. Maybe it's the trade deadline. Maybe it's in the offseason. Maybe it's the development of Keegan Murray. We don't know. But something needs to happen if we're talking about a championship with this roster.
On chat, YouTube chat, thanks for being with us on YouTube. Compio says, Kings need to move Sabonis back to his natural position, the four, and start McGee, Leonard, Lyles at the five.
Nah, you know that's a non-starter to me. And Compio is our guy, but he's completely wrong. You know, when you have a guy like DeMontis Sabonis.
It was his cousin that came up with that.
Yeah, exactly right. It wasn't him. It was his cousin Ray Allen's mom or something like that. You know, it's like, but, you know, when you have a guy like DeMontis Sabonis, you need to pair him not with an Alex Lynn or a JaVale McGee. You need to pair him with a Kristaps Porzingis, somebody like that, an outside shooting big man. Even a Karl Anthony Towns, I think, would work.
A Miles Turner.
A Miles Turner. And they did have some success. there in Indiana. I just don't think, you know, first of all, Sabonis offensively, he can hit the three, but he's not a stretch big man. He's not. That's not. Then you throw in an Alex Lynn who's not a three-point shooter. And so now you're limiting yourself offensively. And so I totally disagree with that. I think what you need to do is surround Sabonis with more length and size defensively in terms of the wing position. You know, whether it's Harrison Barnes taking a step, Keegan Murray taking a step. Like, that position, those two, they got to be better.
Scooter 916, you guys got me in my feelings right now. I'm going to have to walk away. How can you expect a guy to increase his defensive presence like he was asked to do, and also his offense? Something has to give. Does it, Scooter? I mean, can't you play? You know, everyone should be given everything they can on defense, and then when you get the ball, you get out and run. I really don't think it's that. I know it's not easy, but I don't think it's complicated.
And Scooter, he's a loyal listener, always on YouTube. Oh, appreciate his love. But Keegan Murray's not a late first-round pick. He's not a second-round pick. This is the number four overall pick. And I don't think it's out of the question to ask him to be a lead on both level, on both ends of the floor. You know, I think where he is versus where we thought he'd be, he's not that level right now. And Mark Spears talked about it. When you saw what he did in Summer League, the California Classic, you hear the talk within the organization. They're expecting big things out of Keegan Murray. Now, he's been hurt, obviously, just coming back these last couple of games. But he needs to be a 19-point-per-night game scorer, 20-point-per-game scorer. 14 ain't going to get it done. It's just, no, he has to be the second-best offensive player on this team.
And then we have this from Beamer Beams or Beamly. I want to see Sasha start and see how it goes. It wouldn't go well. interesting thought, but it wouldn't go well.
It wouldn't go well. I mean, Sasha, I think, is going to be a good player. I think he's going to help this team. But the issue isn't offense per se right now. I mean, they scored 117 points. The issue is defensively. And so now you got Sasha and Keegan as your starting three and four. Is that really going to help you against Zion? And Ingram? Not really.
No, probably not.
It's going to hurt you. And so,
but I think you made the point, pardon me for interrupting, Sasha probably could have played more last night.
100%. Like, to me, Sasha should be a 15 to 20 minute kind of guy, night in and night out. Last night, 6 minutes. You can't even break a sweat in 6 minutes, you know? And so I said it during Drape's takes. I wish Mike would have used his bench a little more last night.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take just a quick break from the Kings, and we'll get back to him, of course, top of the hour. But wanted to salute Jake Browning last night.
Yes.
In fact, for what it's worth, I wore my Bengals shirt today.
I still can't see it. Keep going. Oh, there it is. All right.
Got this from Adrian Ross from Elk Grove, who used to play for the Bengals, because Jake Browning last night, of course, we were all focused on the Kings.
Yeah.
But he went 32 for 37 for 354 and a touchdown and ran for touchdown, leading the Bengals over the Jags in overtime. Undrafted Jake Browning from Folsom High, of course, went to University of Washington. And his coach last night, Zach Taylor, said he lit the world on fire. How about that?
And you know, I think that was his first win as a starting quarterback. Jake Browning played, obviously, at Washington, played under Troy Taylor, who's at Stanford now, used to be at Sac State, and was the head coach at Folsom. Kudos to him, man. And I was doing some research on him. Folsom has turned out some pretty good football players, yes, but also quarterbacks over the years as well. And shout out to the local kid for getting it done. 354 yards yesterday. Only five incompletions, Whitey. Think about that. Only five incompletions.
That's almost Purdy-like,
almost like Brock Purdy. 115.5 QB rating, no interceptions, and most importantly, they got the win last night.
Yeah, tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. Let's face it, it's been a weird year in the NFL for quarterbacks.
Right. Just the level number of injuries, you know, and for the Niners, the Eagles, like the Cowboys, like you're seeing the teams that remain healthy at that position.
Huge advantage.
It's a huge advantage. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Did you get to see much of did you see any of the Chiefs and the Packers?
No, I didn't get to see it. I just saw the ending, some of those controversial non-calls late. Yes.
Jordan Love had a big day, but he still throws too much of that garbage.
Little sidearm.
Sidearm off his back. Was like, okay, but anyway, congrats to Jake Browning and Folsom High School football program. When we come back, why won't the Kings run more? Mike Brown had an interesting answer for that, and we'll share that with you next on The Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.